second, third, or fourth, but it's definitely the one.
Okay, let's, you want to go ahead and get started talking about Hotel Transylvania number 3, subtitle Summer Vacation.
Yeah, man, I forgot how excited you were when we first started filming these. You're like, I can't wait till Hotel Transylvania 3 Summer Vacation. That's going to be such a fun one to record.
That's what I've been waiting for. I'm glad
you
bring.
I can tell. Yeah, you're bringing the energy. I love it. That's great. Yeah, it's great to see amidst everything that's happening. Do you want to give us the intro, or should I just kind of run through, give us a little spiel?
Well, I don't know. Do you have something that you wanted to say? Why don't you give a synopsis?
You know, let me say something first. Okay.
Welcome to the fourth Adam Sandler podcast.
Oh, bringing it back. Yeah, back to the beginning.
Is there a reason I stopped doing that?
I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's like sometimes you get the intro, sometimes you get the theme song. Sometimes it just goes right into it. Yeah. I don't know.
That's what keeps people from listening. Wait, that's not what I meant to say. Keeps people coming back.
That is not what keeps people from listening. I can tell you that. Why don't you give it a synopsis for it, and then I'm going to start with my take on the movie.
Sure.
Start it off with...
That'd be great.
My hottest take.
Your hot take?
Yeah.
Okay. It's perfect for summer vacation. So, you know, this is the third movie in the Hotel Transylvania franchise. We've got a bunch of monsters who actually aren't so different from us and have many of the same concerns. And in this particular case, the movie starts out in 1897, and Dracula and the monsters are on a trip, and they're attacked by none other than Van Helsing, the famous monster hunter. Dracula foils this attempt, and then through a sequence of really quick shots, foils several other attempts over the next 100 years. And then we're in, present day Transylvania at the hotel. Drac is living his life. His daughter Mavis is married, has a kid. All his friends are there, but something's missing. You know, he's looking for something, and he's not sure what it is. And he's on online dating apps trying to figure it out, and nothing's really working. But Mavis mistakes his loneliness for stress from work. And so she decides to book a cruise. And so all of the monsters go on a cruise, unbeknownst to anyone in the Monster Brigade, though, is that the cruise's captain, is a one Erica Van Helsing, the great granddaughter of Van Helsing.
No.
Which I'll just, you know, that's a bit of a spoiler, but it's a first act spoiler. So
first act spoilers are
there's
okay.
So much more. There's so much more to unpack in this movie. Trust me. But
so many more.
I will let you know that. So just imagine that as your premise, that all of your favorite monsters are stuck on a cruise ship with their arch nemesis.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are they going to survive?
Yeah. I don't know. I stopped the movie after that.
Okay. Nah.
Thanks anyway.
Yeah. 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 Thanks anyway.
Yeah. So does that cover our bases?
I think so. I think that really leads us into talking about the film Hotel Transylvania 3. Summer Vacation.
When you say it like that, it makes it sound like you didn't watch it.
What can I say about Hotel Transylvania 3 that hasn't been said a million times before? No, you want me to start with my big take on the movie?
I would love that.
My hot take is that I think that my hot take on this movie, other than after Punch Drunk Love, I think this is the most auteuristic film that we've watched.
Oh man, coming out swinging. Wow. Tell me. No, you know what? That can just be the episode. We'll just end it there. Yeah. You don't have to know why.
Think about it.
Tell me why.
Okay.
You would ever say that to me.
Okay. I actually have a lot. I have a few things to say. okay. Basically. So I know I'm leading with my take, and I feel like you might have a different take on the movie, but
I like this. This is good. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I noticed watching this movie, and it almost makes me want to go back and watch the other two Hotel Transylvania movies, but I'm not going to. Okay. But it almost makes me want to.
Which is that
as I was watching the movie, I was noticing something, which is, to me, the plot took a big back seat to the point that I was aware that the story and the plot was happening, but I felt like I wasn't really focused on it. And I don't think that's just because I was just like, oh my God, more fucking bullshit with these monsters and whatnot and their family. Yeah. I think it was because the movie's focus shifted. And I think the movie really for this one shifted into fully focusing on the bits and the skits and the animation and the movement and the fluid movements and things like that, rather than trying to tell a story with like lessons learned and stuff. All that stuff is still kind of in there.
Yeah.
It's kind of in the DNA of the series, but I felt like, to me, I was just like, yeah, I can kind of ignore that and just be like, this is almost a series of skits about monsters on a cruise ship, like sight gags and visuals and things like that. And I was thinking, I had this sense watching it. I was like, this feels a little bit like this is what I wanted from these movies the whole time. Because as I think I talked about in both of the, well, as I know I talked about in the other ones, they're all directed by Genndy Tartakovsky, who is a animation director who's done things like Dexter's Lab, Samurai Jack, the first Clone Wars animated TV shorts, and then something called Primal, which I haven't watched, which I think is probably, which looks cool, but he's a very visual director. I mean, as you'd expect from an animated animator, yeah. But like, he's very like keyed into like movement and sight gags and also just like kinetic like movement. People like, in a lot of his works, they have really elaborate fight scenes that draw on like other aspects of cinema and like are really well paced and timed. This one had a few fight scenes, but what I really noticed in this one is just how everybody moved. And I really noticed that there are a lot of scenes of monsters dancing.
Yeah.
You could also be like, this movie's bullshit. There's no story. It's just fucking monsters dancing. They're like Bruno Mars.
Hey, we can save a lot of money if we fire those writers and just have the monsters do a DJ battle.
You could say that, but I think it was a more creative decision. And I think it's because one thing that I noticed is when I was looking, I was just like, this feels a little bit different. I wonder if there's been any kind of change of the guard. Yeah. And what there is that the writers for the Hotel Transylvania 1 and 2 were Adam Sandler and Robert Schmeigel.
No.
And as we last saw on The Week Of, and the writers for this movie are Genndy Tartakovsky, that animator that I'm talking about, and also someone named Michael McCullers, who it looks like he's kind of just a comedy writer. He did some of the Austin Powers, or he co-wrote some of the Austin Powers movies.
He did Boss Baby.
And he also did Boss Baby. So maybe Boss Baby's really good.
Breaking news, he did the untitled fifth Shrek film, which I think is a great title for it.
Maybe these are hidden gems. I don't know. I have not watched these movies. And I will not watch
Baby
them
Mama.
Until our Michael McCulver podcast. I have seen, or McCullers podcast.
Okay, yeah.
And so anyway, my take or my theory is that the way Adam Sandler and Robert Schmeigel actually did do animation. He did the SNL one that I have forgotten the name of.
Saturday TV Funhouse.
Yeah, that one. But I just kind of feel like in the other ones, I was kind of like, I feel like there's fun characters that you could do some really fun animated stuff with. but I'm not seeing it quite. There's just a little bit too much. Like, I don't care about learning that, oh, humans and monsters can get along. Oh, everybody has their own special.
They're like plot heavy and simultaneously completely forgettable. I can't remember anything. Okay. I remember in one, Mavis and Johnny get together. And then in two, it has something to do with Dracula not being a very good parent.
Right.
That, those are the two things I like. And I just remembered that about two while we were sitting here and you were talking. And I was like, do I remember anything from
Did we watch
two?
That?
I really don't think I do. So, yeah, definitely. And very plot heavy. I thought the plot on this one, I wonder if it's that it takes a back seat or if it's that you have a couple writers who might just be a little better about pacing a plot in such a way that doesn't feel super heavy handed. Because one thing I noticed was like the movie's an hour and a half long. At the half hour mark, we get the reveal that Dracula is in love and that his love interest is Erica Van Helsing. Which is like really fun to, like that's a big moment in the story, and then we kind of like settle into another act, you know, and we're watching the characters on the cruise and everything that happens there, and then on part two, at the end of act two, Erica falls in love, and that's at like right around the hour mark that Erica falls in love with Dracula, and then we have to watch the kind of fallout of that over the course of the third act. So I felt like it was a much tighter movie, and maybe that just lets you have more time for like, let's just like, we can establish all these things point by point, and then we can have time for all the fun stuff. And I definitely immediately was like, holy shit, the animation on this is 10 times better than in two. But, everything else that you said comes as a complete surprise to me, but I'm really intrigued by it.
I think that's kind of it. And I was watching this Cynthia, and she kind of pointed it out. It was during the part where the Mel Brooks character, Grandpa Dracula, is he's like showing off for these witches by the pool, and he's like sticking his butt out. And she kind of pointed out that characters in this movie are always sticking their butt out, and there's a lot. Or she just pointed out there's a lot of like body. Like
horror.
I don't know. It's not like bodily humor, but like body, just kind of
physical,
I don't know,
comedy.
Awareness. Like I guess physical, but physical with like the way the characters are shaped and like their limbs and like and their butt. Like there's a lot of sticking. After that, I noticed that Dracula is always sticking his butt out, but they're always doing these like weird walks. Like there is just a ton of things where like the characters are just moving in a really weird way. And I think that if anybody at home is interested and doesn't want to watch the whole movie, you can like YouTube the scene where they're scuba diving, and they just start for no reason at all, and there's no explanation, they're just goofing off, but they start mimicking the different fish that they see. So they all in a line start mimicking the seahorse. I don't know, it's just stuff like that. It's like, oh, there's this kind of fascination with like how bodies are shaped and how they can contort, and also what you can do with animation to push beyond what is actually physically possible with that.
Yeah, that's cool. Like a more sophisticated getting, you know, Wile E. Coyote getting smashed by a rock. Like, no one can physically, you know, do that and survive, but what would happen if they could? And but then all these like seemingly normal movements and that they're doing, but defy logic of bones.
A lot of characters who their bones seem to disappear for various parts.
That's some part of the like part of the lore of this franchise that we don't know about. Is none of them have bones, you know?
Or their bones are made of like rubber.
They're just sentient Stretch Armstrongs.
That's in Hotel Transylvania 4, which will not be appearing on this podcast.
Yeah.
Sorry, folks.
Well, that was I do want to tell that story because it was neat that while I was watching this first movie, I wrote at the top of my notes, I pray to God we never have to watch another Hotel Transylvania. I just, like, I had to write that in the, like, midst of this movie, just like, let me go ahead and put that out there into the world. And then today I was looking up the synopsis for Hotel Transylvania 3, and lo and behold, a little thing popped up about Hotel Transylvania 4, and I thought, oh my God, it can't be. It can't be. And it comes out in 2 days. But thank God you caught the fact that it does not have Adam Sandler in it, so we do not have to watch it.
Yeah, Dracula dies at the end of Hotel Transylvania 3. Well, if you wait till after the spoilers, credits, he gets murdered.
Damn it.
Someone chops his head off.
It's actually Samurai Jack, and then he's like, I am Dracula now. And I'm like, no, you're not. And he's like, I'm Dracula.
That's not how it works.
No, you're not. And then he just holds up his sword, and they're like, okay, you're Dracula. And then he runs the hotel. So I probably will check out Hotel Transylvania 4 just to see how all that falls out. But
I'm putting it all together.
Yeah. Oof. Oof.
No, for whatever, someone else is voicing Dracula. And based on the trailer that I did watch, doing a pretty good job.
Oh, shit. Yeah. All right. Do you think it's going to make $500 million?
Is that how much this movie made?
Yeah.
How much is that in comparison to other movies?
That is the highest grossing Adam Sandler film.
This is the highest grossing Adam Sandler film?
Do you know what the second one is?
Finally, hard work is rewarded.
Yeah, I know. The second one is Hotel Transylvania 2.
Okay.
And I think the third one is Hotel Transylvania 1.
Man.
And then after that, Grown Ups.
Kids... like cartoons about Dracula.
Kids like Adam Sandler.
Yeah, I guess. No, that's really fascinating, but I wonder how much of that also has to do with, like, the foreign market, maybe, if because
Transylvania.
Yeah, right, a lot of Transylvanian fans.
Finally, no, a movie thinking, about us.
I'm just thinking, like, I know that, and I don't know that much about this. If anybody listening wants to send us cool email,
please.
Just adding to this, but if anybody knows any more about this, but my understanding is that a lot of movies these days now, the international market is actually a much bigger moneymaker than the U.S. domestic market. And I can definitely see a fun cartoon with cartoon characters like bouncing off the walls and dancing and sometimes fighting each other, making money and being very successful internationally, maybe in a way that, like, other Adam Sandler movies might be less interesting to someone in China or where the other big markets.
Right. Just,
like, I don't know. I don't care about Adam Sandler's, like, domestic problems.
Yeah. I mean, it could also just be, like, increasing access to, like, those products and stuff too. But I will say, I'm looking at the box office information, and it grossed $167 million in the United States and Canada, and $361 million in other territories.
Okay.
So yeah, double. Yeah. More than double what it grossed in the United States and Canada.
I also saw, when I was reading about Hotel Transylvania 4, it was originally intended to go to theaters, but they decided not to because of COVID, and then Sony sold the rights to Amazon for, and I'll just look this up, if you bear with me, because to me it seemed like a bit, a pretty penny.
A bit much.
Yeah, but maybe not, because I don't know anything about this.
$20.
Oh my God. What a racket. Where the hell was this? A release, maybe? $100 million.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, Sony sold it to Amazon Prime for $100 million.
So let's just assume
excluding China, where Sony will release it theatrically at some point.
Oh, they can still release it theatrically if they want? Why would they do that?
In China.
Oh, in China. Okay.
Just in China.
Okay. Because the budget for Hotel Transylvania 3 was $65 to $80 million. They don't, apparently there's a wiggle room of $15 million for the budget. But so I mean, you're looking at, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 times more than what your budget was. But if the, I mean, if it's a similar budget, they're really not making much at all off that.
Right.
But they can release it in China, which probably doesn't have Netflix. Yeah, I guess Netflix.
That would be a loss. Huh? Or, yeah. I don't know.
We should call up that guy we know that knows a lot about, like, movie, like, the economy, the theater economy.
Oh.
Rick. Remember Rick?
Sure. Do you want to... Are we... What?
yeah, let me call him. Beep, boop, 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 boop. Bring, bring,
bring, bring. Oh. Hey, hey. Hey. Hello?
That was hello? Actually... oh, shit. I thought I hung up. That was not Rick. That I called the wrong number. I don't have Rick's number.
Who is this?
Shit, this I gotta hang up.
Hey, stop calling me.
good bits. We're kind bits. Of like Hotel Transylvania 3, which we don't really care about the plot or what we're doing. We just are in it for some good goofs.
Good goofs and a lot of physical comedy that you can't see, sadly. I don't know why we chose this medium for for our art. But
yeah.
Now, so you mentioned you know that there's not as much of a plot, or like plot kind of takes a back seat, which I agree with, but I did find it interesting that in this one the whole issue of the zing comes back in full force. So in the first Hotel Transylvania, there's this whole thing about how Dracula had a zing with Mavis's mom, and that's how he knew he was in love with her. And you only get one zing in your whole life. And Mavis gets her zing, but it's with a human. And so Dracula has to deal with that fact. So it's a really odd, like, kind of, I don't know what, I mean, I would call it like simultaneously progressive that Dracula has to learn to accept a human, and super conservative that he, like, this whole idea of the zing and how you only have, it's like virginity, it's, you know, it's like you have this thing and it happens and it only happens once. So you better make it really special and you better really like it. And you have to like it for the rest of your life, 'cause that's the only one you get. It's called a zing.
Yeah. But he gets a second zing.
Yes. Yeah. So in the first one, I was conflicted about it. And this one, Dracula ends up having this crazy moment where he has a second zing. Love at first sight. Mm-hmm. Erica Van Helsing, his, you know, the great granddaughter of his arch nemesis.
So apparently you are allowed to have at least two zings in your life. You just have to wait until your first zing dies, and then you have to wait 120 years.
Yes. And then you can, and then it's fine. No biggie. Yeah. Yeah. Who would complain about that? Right. Mm-hmm. I don't have a whole lot to say about that, except that I think it kind of sets up some unrealistic expectations, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, for sure. They don't get to know each other. I mean, they do get to know each other. I guess Erica, well, we're going into like kind of where it all ends up. So
that's okay.
We're going into toward the end game of the movie, if anybody cares about that. but Erica does develop feelings for Dracula, feelings other than I want to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
After getting to know
him. I should say that the second act is Erica trying to kill Dracula the whole time that he thinks, really likes me.
It is very Wile E. Coyote. Actually, when she's trying to kill him, and there's literally a scene where he's dancing, because this movie is all about dancing.
It's like very it's almost a musical. It's like almost a Disney musical type movie. But
there was at least one moment where I was like, they're gonna go into a song now, and then but instead of going into a song, they just have like Bruno Mars or somebody on the soundtrack.
Yeah,
because it's a contemporary animated children's movie. Mm-hmm. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, there's a part where Dracula's dancing and she's like trying to kill him through all these kind of convoluted ways that then kind of backfire on her. Yeah. Very Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote-esque. But yeah, she does get to know him, but Dracula does zing right away. I was going to say he's kind of a premature zinger, but because he doesn't even know her. This literally turns out to be his arch enemy. and he doesn't even know that. But then it ends up working out.
You know what the issue is? Zing
knows. Yeah.
Dracula is codependent.
Yeah.
Dracula is very codependent.
Oh my God.
And it's, you don't just need Erica for that, because you see it throughout the whole movie. We've seen it throughout three movies. Mavis and Dracula have a very unhealthy relationship.
Yeah.
She still lives at home. She's 120 years old. She's married. Yeah. She has a child. But Dracula will not let them leave. And he doesn't want to fall in love with somebody, because he doesn't want to break up the family unit that he has maintained for however many years.
Yes.
I mean, he's afraid to even tell Mavis that he might like somebody. It's very, which I can't blame him. He's a single parent. He's had to raise Mavis on his own. I'm sure that there's a lot of issues that come about from that.
Yeah.
But
we don't want to shame Dracula. We just want to say, Dracula, it's probably time to maybe talk to somebody. And I think that's what Dracula 4 or Hotel Transylvania 4, Transformania.
Transylvania.
Transformania.
No, it's called Hotel Transylvania.
Hotel Transylvania, Transformania. And I think what they mean, they don't mean a transformation of a physical transformation. They mean the transformation that comes from doing the hard work on yourself, going to therapy, doing
that's why Adam Sandler would
whatever you need to do.
He's like, I don't need to go to therapy. I don't transform. No thanks. I'm happy just the way I am.
Right.
Yeah. Damn.
Did you watch Puppy?
I did watch Puppy.
Yeah. Also, got that puppy without permission, explicitly against the wishes of Mavis.
Yeah.
Undermining her parenting.
Yep. Totally just undermining her parenting. You cannot have a dog. Yeah. I'm going to go ask my grandpa. He'll do
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, oh, the enabling grandparent.
Yeah.
just a classic situation that
you
see time and time again.
I think Carl Jung mentioned that as one. That was one of Carl Jung's archetypes.
Yes. the enabling grandparent vampire with a fake Transylvania accent. Was what it was specifically.
Ahead of his time. Definitely ahead of his time.
Man, how did he know? How did he know what was inside of our brains?
I don't know. But you mentioned Puppy, and I wanted to know, did you have anything in particular to... So that is a really important character in this movie. And I... So Tinkles is Dracula's grandson's puppy. He happens to be... get this, gigantic. He's like the size of a woolly mammoth, or maybe even bigger, and he's just a pug puppy, and my God, he's just the cutest, and he's just slobbering all over the place. Pugs really don't slobber that much, and he didn't breathe as loud as a giant pug probably would, but my God, he was really cute, really a feisty little guy, huge, but little guy. But
he
so they released
quite cute.
At the same time that they released the Emoji Movie, they premiered Puppy, which was a short film a couple years or a year before Hotel Transylvania 3 came out. And Puppy is this 5-minute video of the kid getting a puppy. And then essentially, as we all know with dogs, the parent or the grandparent buys the kid a dog, and then they're the one who ends up raising it, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
We all know it. And so there are scenes of Dracula. There's a scene of Dracula taking the puppy. The puppy's scratching at Dracula's coffin and waking him up because it wants to play, and then it wants to go outside, and then it wants to eat and all this kind of stuff. I kind of left Puppy thinking, why does this exist?
Interesting. Yeah. Did you watch Puppy before Hotel Transylvania 3, as is the canonical order?
Well, I like to challenge expectations and convention, so I did not do that. And maybe that would
me neither. No, I watched Hotel Transylvania 3 first, so which is why I was one that's why I thought maybe if you'd watched Puppy first, you'd be like, what was the point of that? Because to me, it was like, oh, they're establishing this character that then is consistently throughout Hotel Transylvania 3.
Yeah. A good character that kids would want to see. A big giant puppy. Who can beat it?
Yeah, and I was also, when the movie first started, before it kind of won me over, and I was kind of like, more of this. And
it's just then staring longingly out your window.
And then they brought up Tinkles, the puppy, the giant puppy, and he's so ridiculously cute. But I was still kind of just like, God damn it. And now they literally just have another, like a character that's just supposed to be a toy that you buy. And it's just more like pablum into this mess. Mm-hmm. But Tinkles did win me over because there was a recurring bit where they'd be like, they were trying to pass him off as like a guy named Bob.
which rules. I mean, that's just in and of itself, that's great.
And they would be like, whenever people would come up to him, apparently one of Tinkles' things is that he can say, hello, I am Bob. And so, I don't know. Then I was like, oh, that's kind of a good bit.
Yeah.
Tinkles won me over. And he would have won me over anyway. He's a cute puppy.
My God, you can't beat it.
I can, yeah, right. You can only resist that for so long.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I think you're right that one way of thinking about it is puppy exists because it lets you know, hey, there's going to be a giant puppy in this movie. You better watch it. And the other thing I think it lets you know is that, oh, Hotel Transylvania is a thing.
Right.
It reminds you that it exists.
It is.
I guess those would be the two main.
It is so strange to live in the age of like IP, like just straight up, like people refer to characters as IPs, intellectual property. Yeah. So like, and they say, oh, this is a valuable IP. Like that's what the discussion is. And it's just like, it is so interesting. And also to be like, but there are still people within the system that we have that are trying to do like the best that they can. And so making cartoons or whatever, if that's their art, or making films, writing stories, whatever. And it's just kind of interesting to be like, on one hand, part of me is like, oh, this kind of, I think you said it was appeared before the Emoji Movie.
Yeah.
So it kind of almost harkens back to what I probably naively look at as a more, I don't know, like I probably romanticize too much the idea of like the old like MGM or Warner Brothers or even Disney cartoon shorts in the beginning of the movie, they didn't exist as far as I know to sell something that's supposed to make more money. It was just, we want to have a full package to get people to this movie. So you got your newsreel, you got your cartoon, and then you got your movie. Mm-hmm. And Bugs Bunny wasn't, as far as I know, and maybe the animator expert that listens to this can email us and let us know.
Yeah.
You mean Steve. But as far as I know, Bugs Bunny wasn't advertising anything except maybe other cocaine. Bugs Bunny cartoons and also cocaine.
Yeah.
But like, right, I don't know that it was like, oh yeah, there are other Bugs Bunny cartoons that you could see if you keep going to see movies, but he wasn't also like, they didn't have Space Jam 2 yet, where everything is supposed to be an advertisement for everything else. And so on one hand, Puppy harkens back to that, or just the idea of having shorts. But also, what I've noticed is when the cartoons will have shorts, except for the Pixar ones, which is maybe almost its own discussion. But like, I went and saw some movie, some cartoon in the theaters. Possibly, what the hell was that? Moana, maybe? I think I did end up seeing Moana in the theaters with my mom, just as kind of like a Christmas movie or something.
Yeah.
To go to a movie back in the day, a few years ago. And they had a Frozen short. So I had a short cartoon at the beginning, which was a Frozen short.
Okay.
And it's like, yeah, this is like is this really a cartoon like that is supposed to exist just for the sake of having this cartoon? Or is this, hey, people that like Moana, remember, Frozen's really popular. Like,
yes, is yeah.
And it all centered on like the snowman character, I think. So it's just like, hey, you love this wacky character.
Remember this guy?
Did you know that there is a whole movie and also a bunch of toys that you can buy with this character?
His toy outsold every other toy. That's why we made a short about him.
Right, yeah.
You love him.
Yeah.
He's more of what you love.
Yeah, and so it's so weird to decipher like the artistic value of anything. It's like all the artistry still exists. The craft and whatnot. Maybe better than ever, though probably not. But at least it still exists. But
wow,
so much of it is
ever.
So much of it is in service to, like, not necessarily that it's bad that everything is Spider-Man or Frozen or whatever, but or Hotel Transylvania. Not necessarily that those are bad stories on their own, though maybe you can argue that some of them are. But just so many resources are going to one story or just like a few different stories that all kind of have no message to them.
Wow.
Not that you need moral a message, but you know what?
Man, you sound like a communist.
I know.
To be honest.
Everything just needs to go to the glory of the worker state.
That's right. There's only one story, the proletariat.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. You know, I don't know if I've mentioned this on this podcast, but it seems appropriate now. I saw, I went to a showing of Taxi Driver.
Oh.
And the director, possibly Paul Krugman. I don't know what his last name is, but his first name is definitely Paul.
Hi, this is Chris from the future, and the screenwriter of Taxi Driver is Paul Schrader.
Not the director, but the writer, screenwriter for it. Said that in the 70s they were dealing with a crisis of form, that they had there. He said there are two types of crises that you can have in any kind of art form: a crisis of content or a crisis of form. And he said in the 70s we were dealing with a crisis of form. We had so many stories to tell, but we didn't know how to tell them. And then someone later on asked him what he felt like we were dealing with now. And he said, we're dealing with both. We have a crisis of form and a crisis of content. We don't know. We don't have any stories to tell, and we wouldn't know how to tell them anyway if we did. But I do agree that it's with the IP stuff that it's so much easier. There's a dramatic reboot of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I haven't watched the trailer for it yet, but NBC or Peacock or whatever is doing a dramatic reboot of what was a relatively funny sitcom from the early 90s.
Early 90s, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's what it is like you have a story that you want to tell, probably about a black kid who has to move from the city to the suburbs and deal with everything that goes on there, which I'm sure happens more often than one time in the history of the world. But why try to tell a different story when you can brand it as the same story that we all know and love?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's almost like the reboot is our cultural myth to bring Young back into it. It's like that is the story that we actually want to keep retelling, is not even a story at all. It's just good defeats evil, and it looks like this every time. It looks like this.
Yeah.
It looks like Spider-Man, it looks like Sherlock Holmes, it looks like Hotel Transylvania.
I do want to say though
you love the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I love the new Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. No, I was going to say that a Taxi Driver is of course one of the original branding crossover IPs, because it was both advertising, I mean really they wrote it to advertise the sitcom Taxi, where that featured, I think, Danny DeVito and also Andy Kaufman.
I hate
but
you
also
so much right now.
All of these were basically just advertisements for the taxi company, right? Like the New York City taxi company.
Oh, big
like,
taxi.
They basically were funding these, and they were like, we need some advertisements. We need to get people interested in
taxis
again, man.
Joni Mitchell can only do so much. We need a movie. We need a film.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, just thinking about like that. Just reboots or You mentioned Sherlock Holmes. I know, I feel like there's a quote that I saw somewhere or an interview with somebody where they were talking about how, or maybe it was just I noticed this kind of occurring where maybe it was somebody had an original idea, but then it got turned into like a Sherlock Holmes movie or something like that. But I started to notice that scripts that started as original were off, would end up being like maybe it was Die Hard or something, but well, actually, Die Hard 3, I think, was an original movie called Simon Says, and then they attached
Wow.
Die Hard to it, which would have been a little bit before I think things got quite so
Yeah.
extreme into the territory that we are now. But yeah, I think that happens a lot where it's like, well, if you want to do art and you want to make a living at it, you better figure out how to tie, like, you're going to be working on something that you didn't create. I mean, there's obviously always these exceptions, but yeah, I think that it's just, or, and maybe I think that's also where they test a lot of talent. You start off working on the big franchise thing, and then if you really, if you're good at it, they let you do an original idea. And if that fails, you go back to
Yeah.
back to
Brian,
the
actually Brian K.
franchise
Vaughan
mills.
comes to mind. He's a comic writer and he did like some X-Men or Marvel stuff, and did a run of that. And then from there could like go off and do his own thing and did he probably did other stuff before that too, but then has done like Why the Last Man and Saga, which are two really successful ones. But yeah, I mean it's like I think you try to branch out and like, all right, I'm gonna do this shit on my own. We'll see what happens. I'm paying my own bills now. You know, like I'm just, you know, I am my own boss and we'll see. Yeah, it's pretty intense.
It's just, yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, I really never know. I never know how much to bash. Like, right now we have so many, like, right now the big thing, the big target is, of course, Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And I never know exactly. Well, one thing that probably is, like, not great is that Disney owns like every franchise at the moment, like Marvel and Star
It's
Wars
okay
and
because eventually it
Disney
just has to
Pixar,
collapse, right? It has to
blah
just
blah
be
blah blah blah.
like, oh, there's nothing here. It's, or not.
But also, but I never know how much to like really. I just don't know how much to like bash it. I know there are people that it's like, oh, that's all shit. It's all garbage or
Yeah.
whatever. And it's really fun. And like people really like to bash that stuff of a certain people with a certain sensibility. And then there are the people that are like, no, it's entertainment. It's entertainment for me. Like, it's okay. It's
Yeah.
okay to have these kind of to have Marvel superheroes stories being told. And like, in a way, isn't it kind of like, it's not like my it turned my brain to mush. I can still watch other movies. Like,
Yeah.
and sometimes
I
I'm
can
gonna
watch Hotel
decompress.
Transylvania 3. It, you know,
Yeah.
I don't
Like
have
an
an issue.
auteuristic film.
Right.
And then
Yeah.
I can watch
Art.
something
Just call it
from a
art, man. Yeah.
studio, like the new Spider-Man or whatever. So I really don't know, but it's still there. And I myself enjoy various franchises. I enjoy various franchise films and can have a good time with them. And I think that there's creativity and talent going into all of this stuff. But there is this little feeling that there is some kind of issue with it
Yeah.
all. Like
Yeah,
something is
I
like not great about.
can't put my finger on it, but yeah, it's, I just think there's just so many little things, like you said, like the idea of a an original work just being like, all right, we're gonna actually brand that as a Die Hard movie. And then also when you think about all like we've had, I don't know, 10 Spider-Man movies in the last 20 years, something like that. Like what would it mean for like nationwide audiences if like storytelling was such that every single one of those movies had been a different character with their own unique perspective and you know psychological sensibility and backstory and all that kind of stuff, like how much richer would our like appreciation of I don't even know life be if like it was that instead of just constantly rehashing the same story and like hey you know what with great power become comes great. Well, see, I can't even say it. So maybe it is good that we just keep getting it, because it's going to be, I got to memorize that at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
I was wondering if, like, you know, 10,000 years ago, some like grandmother storyteller was sitting around the fire with her grandkids and was like, tonight I have a new story to tell you. And they're like, no, we want to hear the story about Doggy the dog. Tell us the story about Doggy. And she was like, no, but you need new stories because the world is constantly changing. No, give us Doggy. She's like, okay, here's the story of Doggy. And then all the kids like sat back like, oh, okay, good. Man, gave us what
I
we
do.
Wanted.
I do love to go back to the Doggy stories though, just when I'm like, I just need something familiar, man.
Yeah, Grandma's Fables where it's at, man. Yeah. Aesop ripped off a lot of them, but
yeah, no, but I mean, it's not like other movies don't exist, right? So
it's just strange, that they're shunted to the smallest possible audiences. barely have any distribution or funding, but yeah.
I saw a tweet, and I don't know, I can't attribute it, but I was trying to find it, but it was because I wanted to check this to see if it was accurate, because I was really curious and to see if there was more to it. But it was basically somebody's hot take or whatever, which is that all the and the person I saw this from, just if anybody's interested, was Matt Christman, either on Twitter or on YouTube or something, and he said, but he was referring to somebody else's tweet, but it was basically that all the Disney movies, so Spider-Man beat all these other movies that opening weekend that it opened, all of which were also Disney properties.
Oh.
And that they were intentionally all put together up against Spider-Man because they wanted Spider-Man to beat all the other movies they were releasing so that they would have an excuse to not release non-Marvel movies anymore and could just take those movies and put them straight onto the, like, the streaming services.
Whoa.
And I, like I said, I don't know the accuracy of that. I don't know. I wasn't able to look into it too much more than that, but I was just kind of like, I don't know. It seems like something that could be happening.
There's another good reason not to watch Disney products anymore.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck those guys. If that's the case, if it's not the case, great job. I know it sucks when you release all your movies at the same time. Sometimes you just made a mistake. It happens to the best of us.
Yeah, they were like, like the day of, they're like, here are all the movies we're releasing. Shit.
Oh.
We released them all the same day.
We're competing against ourselves.
Oh.
Get Walt in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucked up, man. I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah, and
if it's
true,
I'm writing a strongly worded letter.
To the Dear Disney Corporation.
Dear Professor Xavier, I am very disappointed in what your partners at Marvel and Disney have done.
Yeah. He might still be Sony.
Oh.
They own the X-Men.
Do they still own the X-Men?
I don't know if they still do.
I think maybe they do. Man, I think we talked. No, I don't think we've talked about this. But I checked out after Captain America: Civil War. I've seen a couple since then. I went to watch Deadpool, but it was like, oh, this will be a funny movie. I don't care that it's a Deadpool. I want to watch a funny movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, my thing. We have spent a lot of time talking about this, but my thing is that I think the appeal of Marvel movies and returning to the same story over and over again is the same appeal that there is for sports, that you can return to the same genre and anticipate basically the same structure every single time, but within it there will be subtle differences every single time. But ultimately, you are watching the same story play out, which is, will the good guy win? There's no deeper connection to, like, how people actually behave or interact with one another or grow or don't grow or anything like that. it's just, is the good guy gonna win?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'll say we're at 52 minutes. I don't know if we want to say much more. I have a couple other things I could say, but nothing. I feel like I've covered my main things that I wanted to talk about. So,
regarding Hotel Transylvania.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's take it back to Hotel Transylvania for a little bit, and then we can kind of start wrapping this up a little bit too.
That sounds maybe good. A little earlier. Well, I will say one of my favorite things was. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go. No, I didn't.
I didn't have anything either, honestly.
Well, then I'll say what my favorite things were.
Okay, you do that. No, I had favorite things, but in that particular moment, I was going to... I don't know what I... Go ahead.
I'm just going to say a few random things from my notes, basically, which is... well, I could say, like, I thought there were some really clever concepts. I've talked about the things I liked in it. There's an airline run by gremlins.
Okay, yeah, that was one note that I had. I thought that was great.
That was actually the moment where I was just like, maybe this movie is going to be better than I was expecting.
If this whole movie is with the gremlins, yeah, hell yeah. So who do you think, did you think of anyone in particular when you heard the gremlin voices?
No.
I thought Steve Buscemi. I was certain Steve Buscemi did all the gremlin voices, which would have been awesome. But it turns out it was Aaron LaPlante, which, to be honest, sounds like a made-up name to hide the fact that Steve Buscemi played all the gremlins.
Oh, my God.
LaPlante.
Them
he's a plant, anyway.
So I thought that was fun. The cruise that was run by the fish heads was fun. Another thing I noticed,
The Chris fish heads Parnell, needed, the fish heads were good though.
They were all played by Chris Parnell. He's always does really good work, I think, in the various things that he is in, including the voice of the dad in Rick and Morty.
Jeez, Jerry.
Kept up on that. Jerry, that's
yes. Oh my God, he does. He makes art with that guy.
Yeah, some really good voice work there. In terms of voice work in general, or just, I felt like this one very much was like more of an ensemble movie in some ways. I mean, Dracula obviously was like the focus. And I felt like all the other characters kind of like, they each had their moments, but none of them, like, up until this point, like Mavis, played by Selena Gomez, was a really big part of the story. And also, what's his name, played by Andy Samberg, Johnny.
Yeah.
And I felt like in this, they were just kind of other characters.
Yeah.
They really, I felt like, had a pretty small, relatively small role compared to the other ones, which is kind of interesting considering that it's like it's Selena Gomez. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is she a big Selena star? Gomez. I always thought she I thought she was, but maybe not anymore. I don't know.
I don't know how these things work.
I who can keep up?
Yeah, I actually thought, I mean, I was thinking about the cameos because we always talk about the cameos, but I was like, and this one I feel like they matter least of all. Like, it doesn't matter that David Spade plays the Invisible Man. It doesn't matter that Kevin James plays Frankenstein. It doesn't matter because they could be they really could be played by anybody, and they just serve such minor roles in this story. There's nothing, you know, there's no moment where it's like, there's that Kevin James comedy coming out with Frankenstein. Or, you know, oh man, there's Steve Buscemi playing the werewolf, like just killing it on the werewolf as Steve Buscemi, which I think is the part of the fun of hearing your favorite actor play a cartoon character. Is like, how am I going to know that it's actually my favorite actor, right? Like, how are they going to do funny things or, you know, lean into their bits? I thought it was kind of dull in that sense that none of these characters really stood out.
And then I guess one other thing about these movies, just kind of a complaint, or I guess just kind of an ongoing thing, is just the soundtrack was fine. I thought the original music was fun, but I they always put so many like modern pop songs in it.
Yeah.
I don't know, to me it always just makes it feel very like, it's not even that, I think it's just, it kind of goes into like to me, it just feels like, oh, this is more like franchising. Like, you got to get your Bruno Mars or whoever
song whoever in there. Sony.
Yeah, Sony artists, contemporary artists that then the kids can
subsidiary.
Be like, oh, I like that song. Now get, buy that song on, I guess, Spotify. But yeah, so to me, it's like that. Still the dance, I still had fun with the dance sequences and stuff. And then there's some fun tracks at the end that are, you could say, oh, well, that to me didn't feel like song placement, like franchise, like product placement, basically.
No, it really actually felt like we're trying to play like super happy songs. Like, mm-hmm. we want, like, at the very end of the movie, Van Helsing, yeah. the great grandfather, who's actually alive and barely mm-hmm. alive, but he's like half machine, yeah. half man. Mm-hmm. He finds this scroll and he opens it up and it summons a kraken, and like it's really dark, brooding music, but like on a like EDM beat, mm-hmm. and the kraken is destroying everything, and they're like, we have, and Johnny, who's been DJing, I guess, and is, you know, he DJs in the other movies, he's like, we got to stop this guy, and we have to do it with like positive music. And so they play first Good Vibrations, which to me isn't super positive, but I think partly my connotation with that is Vanilla Sky, and the scene where that plays in Vanilla Sky is horrifying. So
okay,
and then Don't Worry, Be Happy, and uh-huh. then the last one, Macarena.
Yeah,
which, yeah, I did feel like that was just like just having fun. There's no,
yeah,
there's no subtle like you know, product placement there, you know, or overt product placement even. It's just like, this was a really yeah. catchy, popular song that everybody right. loves. Now, maybe we can go and look it up and Sony owns the rights
probably,
to the Beach Boys.
And yeah, probably, but it's not like they were like, here's a new artist that we're trying to push. Like, yeah. I kind of doubt that they are like, let's put this in because maybe this will kick off the Macarena revival.
Right, and we own the like, Macarena.
Yeah, I'm guessing it was just that they're like, what is something that it has that really visually appealing dance,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted to have all the monsters do the Macarena, more visual side gag humor.
Yeah.
Where they can stick their butts out.
A lot of that, a lot of sticking butts out.
Yeah.
Can't beat it. It's good times. Yeah. Speaking of product placement, I like that early on in the movie, Dracula is trying to get on his like dating app on his Sony phone. It says Sony at the very top of his phone. And his phone is a piece of shit. It doesn't yeah. work at all. I'm like, yeah. I don't understand how that works or serves as product placement for you, Sony. But maybe that's the reason why Disney owns everything and you're mm-hmm. stuck with the Fantastic
exactly.
Four.
Exactly.
Yeah. Also very sad that Atlantis just turns out to be a huge casino.
I was bummed too. I thought that was interesting, and they seemed like stoked on it.
Yeah, the cradle of civilization.
I was also like, they build it up, and it's like, even at one point, I think old Van Helsing, Abraham Van Helsing, says Atlantis was a civilization of just monsters, or somebody says it. Mm. It was like Atlantis in this. The
okay, well, the
Atlantis
casino would make sense in that case.
Was just run, was like a civilization of monsters. And, but anyway, yeah, they built it up a little bit. They alluded it to a few times, and they're like, oh, they're going to see Atlantis. And it, yeah, it's a big casino. And they're all stoked. They all just run over to the slot machine.
Yep.
But yeah. I was just like, ah, that'd be such a bummer.
Yeah.
If you were like, you're going to see an ancient civilization. It's a casino. They're just like,
yeah,
oh.
No one's like, how did your civilization fail? What yeah. discoveries did you make or inventions before
yeah.
you ultimately failed?
Right.
It's so cool to see this place. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I definitely, they should, maybe they could have had a character, but they, I mean, as we said, this movie had no point to it other than just getting the good gags in. Which was mostly to its, which I found mostly a positive thing. I'd
yeah.
rather have that than like a,
yeah,
than just a tedious story. But, you know, maybe they could have had like a character be like, wait, I want to see the real Atlantis, if it had been a different movie.
Right.
But I mean, the Hotel Transylvania movies, which always end with a giant pop song and blah blah blah. They never they don't have that in there baked into
They
them,
ain't got
like
it in them.
somebody,
Nope.
yeah, something
Nope.
critical like that. But like
Yeah.
even a mild like anti-consumer message, which some cartoons, even ones owned by giant corporations, sometimes have a little bit of something like that in them.
Yeah.
But no,
Sometimes
they're just
interesting
like,
messages and
it's just like, here's the casino, awesome, and it's gonna have a dance club. Let's
Yeah,
gamble our
what is
money.
the generation raised on Hotel Transylvania is gonna think about adulthood?
Right. They didn't have, yeah, where are their stories of kids banding together to save the community center from a construction company?
Right.
Does that even exist anymore in stories? Like,
Or yet, hmm.
what about Marvel movies? Do they ever have that kind of message, or is it always just like, I think the world would be better if Tony Stark owned everything.
Yeah. If Tony Stark owned
He'll
everything,
fix
that'd be
global
great, huh?
warming.
What does
Yeah.
Tony Stark stand for? You know, life, you know, goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. We really dug into it tonight.
Yeah, we
I
did.
gotta
Who
say,
knew?
man,
Who knew?
I don't know if people are gonna be ready for this one.
Yeah.
Oh,
What a
let's
bad.
put on the
What a
next
bad.
Fourth Adam Sandler podcast. It's gonna be great. Oh yeah,
Yeah.
nice chill, relaxing night at the house. Put on put some Grigio on ice for me. I'm gonna take a bubble bath and relax to Fourth Adam Sandler
Yeah.
podcast. Well.
It's true, and so many of our fans, that's exactly the mentality they have going into this. So maybe we should give some kind of warning. But sorry.
Right now,
Yeah, I
let's just
hope you
do it
guys
right
were
now so
ready
they
for
know.
it, guys.
So just so you know, get
This
ready.
one's a thinker.
The preceding hour is gonna be, I don't know if I would call it negative, but pretty ambivalent about Disney.
Which we did not watch a Disney movie, but
That
we're very ambivalent about Disney.
just shows you the caliber of work we're bringing in here. Speaking of Disney movies, though, man, Encanto, really great movie.
Oh, what was that?
Encanto, the new Disney movie.
Oh.
It is,
What is that?
it's a new Disney movie. It's on,
Is that a
it's a
cartoon?
cartoon. Yeah,
Oh, okay.
it's a new cartoon. It's a musical, like
Okay.
music songs throughout it. I thought it was the story. Speaking of new storytelling. It's a Pixar movie too.
Hi, Chris from the future again. It's Walt Disney Animation Studios, not Pixar. Okay.
But I thought it was one of the best children's stories I've ever encountered.
Really?
Yeah, the only other one I've encountered is Frozen, but yes, very good.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel very
Nice.
conflicted in saying that because I know about Disney. And how weird it is, and
Now
I
you
don't like that it
do.
owns so much. But I'm also like Disney. You want some more good stories? Get at me, you know? You know?
Yeah. Disney, if you pay us, we will just turn this into the Disney podcast where we say nice things about Disney
Yeah,
movies.
that's the key. That's really important that it will be a Disney podcast, but where we
And
don't say things like we've said today. We'll say all the opposite things
we
that we
will,
said
in
today.
fact, we will ask anyone, all of our listeners, to forget that we said anything negative.
Yeah.
And I think they'll do it.
We will
They're a
wipe
loyal
this.
bunch.
Yeah, there are. I mean, you just have to do the like Men in Black mind wipe thing to
Right.
like
Yeah.
Cynthia and my brother, if he even
Right.
still listens or she even still listens, and then we're good. Nobody knows us
Right,
even existed.
yeah, synergy right there. Men in Black 5 coming soon.
Disney
Could
Plus
be, could
only.
be. That might be Sony.
All right. Well, I think next up we have Murder Mystery.
Are we on Murder Mystery? That's fun.
That sounds right. If you want to look
Who
that
is
up for
that?
me,
Is that yeah, let me do that. Is that Jennifer Aniston?
I believe that is Jennifer Aniston. That is the th is that the third Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston. We may have had this conversation last episode, but I think it might be the third Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston, but it could also just be the second.
I feel like they've done three, but all I can think of is the one where they go to Hawaii. Just go with it.
Yeah, that might be the only one.
Man, I swear to
anyway,
God.
Anyway, yeah, we have Murder Mystery, and then after and that, then Uncut Gems. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, man, this dude is busy. We've got The Wrong Missy,
Hoobie
Halloween.
No, he's not. Well, Home I think Team he does Hustle, a cameo. Space we don't got to do The Wrong Missy.
What's that?
We don't have to do The Wrong Missy or Home Team. Those aren't official.
He wasn't in those. He didn't act in those?
No, we just got to do Murder Mystery, Uncut Gems. And then Hubie Halloween,
and then Hustle, all the movies Spaceman,
putting out this year.
I'm telling you, he's so productive. I think that's what's keeping him going. We're he's like, I can't do Hotel up. Transylvania 4 because I got to get as many movies done this year as possible because I'm gonna keep these guys work until they die.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
He's just like, slick work son is of good. A bitch. Work gives you meaning, not just for me, but I want to keep the Adam Sandler podcast boys working.
The fourth Adam Sandler podcast.
Specifically, yeah.
Keep it alive. All right. Well,
sweet. Okay.
Until then, this has been a great time. It's been Justin and Chris. We never introduce ourselves, so why would you know who we are? I do own a why pug. I used to have two pugs. One of them was black, just like Tinkles, but... until next time, I just want to say, and this time I want to say it in Transylvanian, hibbity dibbity, hibbity dibbity. There we go.
Kids club. What's a kids club?
Fish. That's right, dear.
I'm still not sure I understand. You take my kids all day on purpose?
Fish.
That's right. What exactly don't you understand?
Why?
No. So they can have a great time and you can have a great time.
Fish.
Oh, don't worry. You get them back at the end of the day.
Fish.
Oh, well. That's better than nothing. So, what do we do now?
I think we do whatever we want.
Whatever we want?
Whatever we want.
Whatever we want.
Whatever we want.
Whatever we want. Whatever we want. Whatever we want.
Stop!
Whatever
help me!
We whatever we want. Whatever we want.
Store, I said, sell it. Salesman's like, what up? What's your budget? And I'm like, honestly, I don't know nothing about mopeds. He said, I got the one for you. Follow me.
Ooh, it's too real.
A chromed out mirror. I don't need a windshield.